Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
The Music of America podcast continues. We are in the state of South Carolina, and we kick the state off today with jazz man Tim Leahy after we talk about Trevor and Eileen Bild. Otel Universe, Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, have created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, Otel Music Videos. It's like hotel without the H, Otel. They love to give back to help others be seen and be heard for their life legacy. They welcome all new submissions for a variety of genres. Visit their website, Otel Universe, O-T-E-L, otelluniverse.com. Click on What is Roku? And then there's a drop-down menu there, and you click on the Roku channels. Complete the submit video form, and Roku will be carrying your video for you. It's seen in over 160 countries, has viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide. Be sure to add their channel to your Roku menu. Watch and give them a 5-star. OtelUniverse.com, www.OtelUniverse.com. Really interesting concept, and have your videos out on Roku. Tim Leahy, our guest. Have you done videos, Tim?
Yes, off and on, things that are recorded live. I did a live stream. There's a gentleman in South Carolina here named Mark Rapp that runs the Cola Jazz Foundation. During COVID, he came up with the concept of keeping musicians employed, where they had a warehouse that they had a couple of volunteers would come in and record those, and then they live stream them, and I believe they're archived too. You can find them. I know mine is on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, when I was with the Air Force Band, there were many videos out there.
Now, you were with the Air Force Band, but you're also with a jazz band, or is that one and the same, or how does that work out?
Right, I was with the Airmen of Note, which is the premier jazz ensemble of the United States Air Force. We were based in Washington, D.C., and the band has been around since 1950, a direct descendant of the Glenn Miller Army Air Force's dance band.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, cool.
Yeah, fun fact is, one of my favorite fun facts of the job was that if you ever saw the Glenn Miller story starring Jimmy Stewart,
yeah.
The band who portrayed the Glenn Miller band was the Airmen of Note.
Well, I'll be darned.
So, yep.
What a legacy. Way before your time, of course.
Well, wait, a couple years, yeah. Yeah. 20 or so. Forty-five. I got in there. I won the audition in 93, got to the band in 94. But yeah, that movie was made in 1951, I believe.
Interesting phrase. So you won the audition. You have to actually compete just to get into the jazz band. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's a very competitive audition to get into the military bands. All of us have kind of the same procedure. There's a preliminary round that you'll be screened, unless you have auditioned into one of the regional, or every service has a different name for it. The Air Force calls it regional bands. Then you bypass the first round and get sent up to the live round. But yeah, back in the day when I did it, there was no digital anything, so right. I put together a cassette tape and mailed it in and with a resume, and got invited, went down, played with the band live, sight read everything.
Wow.
They wanted to hear how I could switch gears, because that band, we did everything from backing up all kinds of guest artists. I mean, my first year in the band, we played with Frank Sinatra Jr. I think it was the next year, we played with Wayne Newton, Tony Tennille, a host of jazz artists. That my first year in the band, my very first concert with the band was with the Brecker brothers, Michael and Randy Brecker.
Well, yeah.
It was at a festival in Jacksonville. So yeah, it was an amazing job, amazing opportunity. But it was, I felt very blessed to have even been accepted into the audition, but to have won the gig, and I was there for 25 years. the last year I moved over and was chief of operations for the band. But yeah, I played in the Airmen of Note for 24 years.
And you're the trumpet man, right? Trumpet.
I was, yes, sir. I was one of the jazz trumpet players. We carried two lead specialists and two soloists, in our four man section. And yep.
What's the difference? What's the difference between a soloist and a lead?
Well, the lead players play. I mean, you'll hear when we play the live track that I sent from that band. Mm-hmm. You know, they just have kind of super high chops that I never had that kind of range. Uh-huh. So I figured out another thing that I could do. Yeah, playing solos. When I got into the band, I was working as a freelance musician. It's hard to feed a family with that. So I was about to jump ship and get a day job so that I could play just the gigs that I wanted to play. And that was my, I was looking into an accounting school when the job came along.
Well, since you brought it up, let's make that our first song, because I've got some questions about that. The first one we're going to play of yours was when you were with the Airmen of Note, and it's a song called No, I Don't Fly, or No, I Don't Fly Planes, right?
No, I Don't Fly Planes. Yeah, that's a question we got asked all the time, and Ben Patterson, the composer and arranger of that tune, he thought that would be a funny title. It was pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. what is the time signature in that? I was trying to figure that out today. I'm out taking a walk, and I'm listening, and...
I think it's just 4/4.
I wasn't thinking it was 4/4. I thought it was an obscure, it might be, I'll listen to it again, but I thought it was an obscure time signature. I thought it was like, you know, one of those oddball,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's kind of one of his moves, or, you know, a lot of the arrangers, that's a very intense, you know, the bum, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah, that theme happens, you know, throughout that thing. But yeah, no, it's just 4/4.
Well, this song, it reminded me of, I want to say Bill Conti, a Bill Conti kind of feel. The guy did the theme from Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
He also did a whole bunch of like TV themes back in the 80s, I think the 70s, 80s, something like that.
Right, right.
And it had that kind of punch to it. And I tell people this all the time. I'm a huge jazz fan, but I can't sit and listen to jazz on the radio or when I'm driving. I can go and watch jazz and watch it for hours. But there's something about me just listening to jazz, I have a hard time with it, but I see jazz performers. I'm so enraptured in it. And this one grabbed me. This one really grabbed me. I was like, it was fun. It was exciting. And it kept me going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That was it was a great tune. A funny story behind that tune was that he had actually written that tune. He wrote the song for a small group recording he had done a few years earlier called The Prowl. As under Ben Patterson's name, but he's a trombonist, and he wrote that tune in the key, you know, not that this will mean anything to most of the listeners here, but he wrote that tune in the key of B minor, which is, for me, the key of C sharp minor, which is a whole bunch of sharps. So when he told me he was going to write it for the big band, I told him, well, you either pass it to Rich Sigler or our other jazz guy or change the key, because I'm not playing it again in that key.
Too many sharps.
And he did. He wrote it in a much better key. So, but this was that recording is actually captured from a live performance. It was at the Reagan Library. I forget what year it was, 2002 or 2003. But we happened to be on tour, and some of the guys in our band, Joe Jackson, I believe, was our music director at the time, and Rich Sigler, who still does a great deal of, playing, and, he got into the recording side of things. He's a master editor mixer. So, you know, when I have somebody asks me to record something at home, I always run it by him quick to make sure my levels are good. And, you can't hear my edits if there are any. But that one was actually just a live recording that we recorded. They had this concept to start recording everything into Pro Tools, and then they'd weed through it and see if there was any good takes. And it came out on an album. It was called Live, the Airmen of Note Live.
Oh, cool.
I actually have it in front of me from when I pulled that off the CD. But
we're going to listen to a cut from there. It's called No, I Don't Fly Planes, which I think is just absolutely hilarious. And it's a live version, you said, right? This is live?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tim Leahy is our guest here from Columbia, South Carolina, and his first song we're going to listen to is this one here. No, I Don't Fly Planes, here on the Music of America podcast.
Thank you.
No, I Don't Fly Planes. Tim Leahy, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. River Ridge Farm, Vermont's recreation lover's dream, is a gorgeous vacation rental. It's nestled in the Green Mountains of Vermont. River Ridge Farms is an escape to everything wonderful Vermont has to offer. This historic farmhouse is set atop 16 acres of fields with mountainous views, a pasture, a pond, a tree-lined river frontage. Go and enjoy this beautiful spot right in the heart of the Green Mountain State, along with the multiple nearby ski and mountain resorts, breweries, biking trails, and other tourist activities. This spot's really unique due to its various mountainous views and the residential farm animals. So when you're there, when you get there, make arrangements with Diana, the owner, about interacting with the farm animals. They'll love you as much as you'll love them. Or just kick back and enjoy a comfortable farm stay in this modern farmhouse. Sleeps 11 guests comfortably. There's enough space there to throw events like retirement parties, graduation parties, or just relax and rejuvenate in the beautiful Vermont landscape. So check them out. River Ridge Farms. They're on Facebook and on Airbnb, but there are so many River Ridge Farms, you have to look them up as River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville. River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville through Airbnb or on Facebook. Vermont recreation lover's dream, River Ridge Farms. Tim Leahy is our guest, and are you still in the Air Force, Tim?
No, I retired at the end of 2018, and I had met my wife in the Washington, D.C. area, and she, her kids were down in this area, so she relocated, and I decided to follow her.
Yeah, so do you... now you're retired, you get to play music full time.
Yeah, I've been very busy. It's crazy. It had just started to pick up, and then COVID hit, and yeah, you know, shut the whole world down there for a minute. And this year already, I've been busier than ever. Back in February, I went and I was a clinician at a high school jazz festival in El Paso, Texas. I had the honor of getting to share the stage with Javon Jackson, who was, among other things, a tenor saxophonist of our Art Blakey lineage. I heard some incredible music down there. The teachers are all doing a great job, but I'm dipping my toe now. You know, I try to play, you know, I enjoy playing a variety of styles, you know, so yeah, but I try to play. I enjoy playing in a variety of styles. I play from, small group jazz. Tonight, for instance, I'm playing in a quartet at a restaurant in town here. I have a tentative tour coming up with a jazz quintet in the fall. Yep. We're already talking about tunes, and, you know, they've reached out and they're getting, you know, looking into grants and things to fund that. There's a great big band in town here that Rob Gardner has put together, the South Carolina Jazz Masterworks. Really some of the best players and educators from around the state and out of state even. We have one of the trombone players comes in from Florida. He's a trombone professor at Florida State. Yeah, comes in to play in the band, but a really top-notch band. And he brings in a variety of guest artists. So, I mean, the saturation of culture in this area has been very impressive. And then my latest venture, I've been playing with a group called Nahi Groove. That'd be one. I should have thought to lead you to him. You know, when you come back around to South Carolina again, Walter yeah. Hemingway is our leader of that band. And we have some really exciting things going on. We're, you know, he's looking to expand from, you know, doing the little local club scene that we've been doing into more corporate things, and then, you know, maybe expanding into festivals and things like that. But really, a lot of talent here.
When did you start your musical career? Did you start on trumpet, or did you start on piano?
I sort of started on piano. I mean, my mom played piano a little bit, and so I would... I learned to read. She got me the Shalm Note Speller book, and I learned what the notes, the lines and spaces were, and so I understood that. But my first real instrument was trumpet that I had lessons.
Okay.
I started just a little shy of my 7th birthday, and I'll be 56 this year, so it's been quite a
journey.
An up and down relationship, as you can imagine.
Do you ever dabble into other instruments, the cornet, other brass?
I love to play the flugelhorn. Actually, the solo one, the solo two. Well, I didn't even think about that. All three of the things that I sent you, I'm playing the flugelhorn.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. That wasn't intentional. But yeah, all three of those cuts, I played the flugelhorn. I fell in love with the sound of the flugelhorn back in college. And I think a lot of the trumpet players that I loved their sound, you know, they sounded like flugelhorn players even when they weren't playing the flugelhorn. And somehow I wasn't able to master that. So I cheated a little bit and went to the sister instrument. But other than that, I mean, I dabble on keyboards a little bit, but I mean, not enough that I would play in public.
So bear with me because I'm not all that well versed on, but the flugelhorn is like a trombone, but the spacing between the keys, it's a bigger, like, I don't know what that's called. Well, is that right?
It's the same size as a trumpet. It looks bigger because it is spaced out differently. Okay. It looks, you know, Chuck Mangione described it as a pregnant trumpet. You know, that kind of connects with people. But yeah, it's the same, you know, because of the pitch, it's the same key as a trumpet and the same, you know, so it's the same size. It's just a different design and
just
much
bigger
bell. It looks closer to a trombone bell than a trumpet bell.
That's the bell. That's the word I was trying to think of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's funny. So you're a trumpet player and you send me your music and you're playing flugelhorn all through of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, until this moment, I hadn't thought about that.
That's funny.
Now, but that's the sound that I think I relate to more.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you listen to when you're listening to music for inspiration? Like to get ideas and stuff.
Oh, I mean, a host of people. I think that, you know, it's just, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. One of the comments I got from Javon Jackson, as a matter of fact, he said, man, I hear that Clifford in there. And, you know, that meant a lot to me because, you know, when people ask me that question, my usual answer is Freddie Hubbard and Tom Harrell. They, for sure, they were the ones that I listened to the most. But, you know, as I get older here and I'm trying to figure out how to explain what I do to students and to, you know, to self-analyze, like how can I, you know, do this music justice and, you know, anyhow, so I listened to, you know, I realized who the masters that I listened to were listening to. So, you know, while Freddie Hubbard and Tom Harrell are still my go-tos, I realized that both of them listened to a lot of, like, Kenny Dorham. I love the quintets of Art Blakey, like, all of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say they're my two main influences.
It's a similar philosophy I have. You and I were talking before we started the show about Jazz Fest that they have in Vermont every year. And I like to go to where the jazz guys are going. You know, you know, there's a place called 126 in Vermont, just opened up a few years ago. And I love going there during Jazz Fest because that's where you'll find the musicians that have come in for Jazz Fest. They'll go to 126 and they'll jam or they'll just kick back and listen. But, you know, they've got the ear, you know, and that I'm trying to achieve or, you know, to acquire. And they know what good jazz is. So I'm going to follow them, you know.
Right.
I'm looking at my notes here on this next song, and this sounds really funny, but the next song is called Skylark, and your notes say you want to do this to prove that you don't just play a bunch of notes.
Well, I mean, the first track that you played, you heard a lot of notes. I mean, when I teach, I think it's important to convey to students that, you know, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, music is an art, not a science.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there have been, you know, the rare occasion where I come out and I go, I played everything I tried to play there.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, I mean, I mean this from, you know, a place of love, like, but most of the musicians, the highest caliber musicians I know leave, you know, sounding incredible and will, you know, be, oh man, I could have played this better. I wish I would have, you know, there's always the striving to get better. You know, and I mean, like, I've played with some of the best jazz musicians in the world,
yeah,
and seen them react like that. And like, I couldn't believe it. Like, cause what I was hearing was on a whole other level than I ever achieved.
Uh-huh.
And to see, you know, these guys and girls, you know, self, criticizing, it was refreshing to me to know that, you know, well, we all still have work to do.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But yeah, so this arrangement, Skylark, Alan Balak wrote that for his jazz orchestra. We recorded at Shenandoah University in 2 days. And, you know, my fun fact about this one was that it was slated to be at the beginning of a recording day, but the lead trumpet player was worried about how his chops were going to hold up because, you know, believe it or not, even though there's nothing high in that particular tune, playing long notes, you know, long pretty notes is actually harder than, you know, blasting out quick high notes.
Right.
So he asked that the schedule be changed. So I actually played a section part when we recorded the band part. And then they made me stay till the end of the day. On the second day, we had two, I think they were 7 or 8 hour recording days. And this solo was what I could crank out as the very last thing on that recording. There were only four of us left in the studio at that point. The whole band left.
Everybody's gone.
And I overdubbed my solo. Oh, but it was one take. I'm proud of that too, that it wasn't an overdubbed solo. It was overdubbed, but it wasn't, you know. I played the one and we listened back and I said, wow, I could live with that one.
Yeah. Cool. That's fun. You didn't have multi takes. You just laid it down and said, like it.
Yeah. That's not the typical response from me, but usually I'm a second take guy, but I'm pretty sure this one was the first take.
Well, the song is called Skylark and we're going to listen to it right now. It's Tim Leahy from Columbia, South Carolina here on the Music of America podcast. Thank you. Tim Leahy is our guest, a former Air Force jazz band. So I guess we talked about this. You traveled all over the country except for Hawaii and Alaska. What other countries did you go to?
Well, we had the opportunity to travel Europe. It was the 50th anniversary of the end of World War II. So the leadership in the Air Force band put together a recreated Glenn Miller Army Air Forces Orchestra. We had strings. We had, there was a French horn in that original band. There was, there was a singing group that they called the Crew Chiefs. So we had a cast of thousands there, Cecil B. DeMille cast of thousands. In 95, they brought that group across the country. We started in D.C. and worked our way, I think it was to St. Louis, and then they flew to Texas, went across Texas, and made it all the way to California. My first daughter was born during that tour, so I missed the second half of it. Again, thanks to my leadership for letting me come home for that.
That's pretty
cool. All these years later. She's 28 now and a mom. So,
oh, wow.
But yeah, I was glad I got to be there for that. But anyhow, we took that group to Europe. So that was Germany, Luxembourg, England. I forget where all. Belgium, I know we hit. We were all over. And then in 2002, well, and then 98, we went to, they have these military marching band shows called Tattoos.
Okay.
And, the military bands from all over come to these things. So we were fortunate they built a show around the Airmen of Note. It was a Glenn Miller, again, a Glenn Miller-based theme. And we went to Norway and Sweden on that tour. So that was pretty cool. And then 2002, I believe it was, we did a tour of it was a USO tour, kind of like the Bob Hope thing that they used to do. So we went over and we toured for the USO and played for troops all along the border of Afghanistan. I know we were in Bahrain. I know we were, like, some of the places we land, I just got on the plane and landed. It was exhausting, but it was a very cool thing to do, to have played for the troops. Kuwait, United Arab Emirates. And then in 2015, I did my one and only deployment. The band does send, they keep bands over there for community relations as well as troop morale over there.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to have been chosen to go over to lead a group. We played in Afghanistan, Jordan. We were based in Qatar for most of the time we were there. That was pretty, enlightening to see just the different culture. We were going to schools and play for kids, doing assembly and, to see how they would react to our music. But yeah, I think those were the big ones.
Was it well received? Because I think of Eastern music and it's more strings,
Well, we were a rock band. It was a pop band. So, it was pretty well received, except for one incident where one of the, I think he was a eight or nine year old, we were doing the Bruno Mars tune Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
And he did not think that's what we were saying. We nearly caused an international incident there, but they explained what the words to the song were and everything was fine. But yeah, other than that, it was really well received.
That's funny. An 8-year-old of all things. How does an 8-year-old know?
Right.
Well, the last song we're going to hear from you here is Night of a Thousand Eyes. And as soon as I saw that, I immediately went to the Land of a Thousand Dances, which is not the same song.
It's Night Has a Thousand Eyes.
Night Has. Oh.
Okay. Night Has a Thousand Eyes, yeah.
Okay. It does?
A little bit different.
Yeah? Are the eyes the stars in the sky?
I don't know. It was just a fun tune that I like to play that I've been playing since I was in college. And like I said, in my my playing of too many notes. That was one that I felt like, you know, I wouldn't say that that was a 100%er for me, but I thought that was pretty representative of you know, some of my best playing.
Mm-hmm.
And those were, you know, that particular recording was from a quartet. It was a live, you know, live in front of a studio audience kind of recording. Yeah. The bass player, Amy Shook, and the drummer, Frank Russo, they had a quintet that I played in, that was for some reason called the Shook Russo Quartet for many of the years I was in it, but I was the fifth. There were four of them before I got there, and it took them a while to, I don't know if they were, I was on audition for the first 8 years or so until they changed the name, but they do have two great CDs out. The Shook Russo Quartet. Before me, they were using a trumpet player, who's kind of a legend in the business, by the name of Greg Gisbert. So I was pretty honored to step in, and you know, I had the first CD when they asked me to play. But anyhow, three of the members were also there, and then the piano player on this particular session was Bob Buda, who had an amazing career of his own. He played with Blood, Sweat, and Tears for a while.
Wow.
But he grew up in Baltimore, playing with, you know, everybody, you know, but, you know, probably the most famous on his list was a trumpet player named Woody Shaw.
Yeah.
I felt like I was out of my league a little bit that day, but you know, so a little bit inspired, I hope, it sounds like.
Yeah, he had a little bit of notoriety. I think I've heard of him once in a while.
Did all right.
Funny. Back in my days of radio, I worked at a radio station. We played a format called The Music of Your Life. It was really cool. My mom and dad, we grew up listening to big band music.
I grew up listening to the music of your life. That's kind of how my love of jazz grew.
No kidding.
It was only on Saturday mornings, but Saturday mornings, that's what we'd get up. And, you know, my dad always had a radio on in the kitchen. So you come down and, you know, whether you liked it or not, you were listening to what he was listening to. But
yeah.
Herb Alpert was, I think that's how I ended up on trumpet. You know, not that it was my choice, but I was kind of a troubled child. I felt like my parents did, you know, started me on lessons to get me out of trouble, give me something to focus my energies on.
Have you played trumpet so you stop talking back?
kind of.
That's funny.
Did all right for me.
That's right. Well, the last song we're going to hear, The Night Has a Thousand Eyes with Tim Leahy, we'll give it a listen to here on the Music of America podcast. Thank you. The Night Has a Thousand Eyes, Tim Leahy from Columbia, South Carolina. Before we get into the last segment of the show, just for my own edification or whatever, the last segment of the show is a shameless self-promotion. We're going to have you reiterate like places where you're coming or things that are coming up. As a military person, where are you from originally? And
I was born and raised in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I went to college in Youngstown, Ohio, which was about 3 hours to the west. And I was there. I took my time going through college. So I took 5 years there to get one degree. had another friend that was there for 5 years, but he got two. and then I had been, working with corporate bands and things in Cleveland. So I moved up to Cleveland for about a year and a half until I won my job in the Air Force. And that relocated me to the Washington, D.C. area where I was for 25 years.
Okay.
And then I landed down here in Columbia.
Okay. I was curious because I don't know if the band was located when you were with the Airmen of Note, if that was headquartered, or if you just had members all over the country and then you would get together and put your stuff together.
That's of the many common questions that we get about the Air Force and the Air Force bands, number one was, what's your real job in the Air Force? And that was our job in the Air Force. We were hired, we were full-time musicians. Now, we did take care of our own business, so it wasn't just come in, play music, and leave.
Uh-huh.
We went in, and, I did everything, I was chief, I'll work backwards. I was chief of operations. So I managed, a budget for everybody in the band to tour. Every funeral that happened at Arlington came across my desk, every job that we had,
mm-hmm.
So I was, I was on a, well, not that I would have called him by his first name, but I was, We knew each other very well. The colonel that was at the Pentagon that would be calling me, which was,
wow.
A crazy thing to think a kid from Altoona, Pennsylvania would be, not getting intimidated by getting calls from the Pentagon. It was just a commonplace, or talking to the White House. The guy who was the director of events at the White House when I left had my job two or three people previous to where I was as chief of operations. So I knew him fairly well, too.
I can only imagine you're like in your 30s. Pentagon on line two. Hang on, we'll put the White House on hold and get the Admiral of the Navy on the other line. I got to talk to him about something coming up. That's something.
Yeah, no, I still was nervous then, but I got out when I was 50. I got into the band when I was 25 and got out when I was 50. So by my 40s, I had seen it all, I think. And, you knew... How to be respectful and to not get yourself into difficult situations. But I did everything from operations to planning tours, to booking guest artists, to taking care of the finances, getting vouchers filed when we came back from tour, public affairs. I did a little bit of everything. And then I ended up in leadership. I was the leader of the Airmen of Note for the last 4 years that I was there.
Wow.
So I was responsible for everybody getting everything done, which proved to be a tougher task than I thought I was signing up for, but the music part of it was always tremendous. And I'm so thankful to have had that opportunity.
That's so cool. Well, Tim, this is the segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. Don't have a website, don't do a lot of social media. So let's just find out how we can find you, find your music, come see you play. Just anything that helps promote your art and your brand, I guess. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I do have a Facebook page. you know, if you're so inclined to, you know, I accept most requests, especially if it's a musician and or if I see common friends, I'll you know, but I don't know. That was kind of everybody being so external is not my thing. Not, you know, I wouldn't call myself an introvert, but, you know, I just don't like to, I'm non-confrontational. I'll say that. Uh-huh. So, you know, when people have opinions on there and they want to argue, you know, I'm happy to do that one-on-one, you know, let's go sit down, have a beer and, you know, hash things out and, you know, hug it out at the end. But, you know, I don't know. I've just seen a lot of people get vicious online, yeah. And yeah, I'm not willing to play that game. But yeah, I am. Let's see. To find me around here, I'm actually going to be moving somewhere in the May timeframe to, over near kind of the Hilton Head area. I'm going to be just outside of Beaufort, South Carolina. So hopefully there will be a lot of opportunities over there to catch me and, you know, Hilton Head, Savannah. But I do always post everything on Facebook if I do have a concert. Ed Fuqua, F-U-Q-U-A, is booking a tour for us in the fall sometime. So I'm really excited about that. Bryson Borgstedt, who was another fellow retired military musician, he was a tenor player in the Army Jazz Knights up at West Point. I don't know why I always forget the name of that band. But yeah, an incredible musician, super good guy. So I'm excited about, you know, so we'll be the front line trumpet tenor for that band. And then I got some educational things coming up too shortly here, the second week of April, I will be in Arkansas. They're putting together some kind of an educational week. I can't recall if he has a title for the week, but I'm one of the clinicians. I will be there presenting my thoughts on how to simplify approaching improvisation and you know, straightening out the swing feel a little bit for jazz musicians. And then I'll be adjudicating a festival in the Huntsville, Alabama area the weekend after that. And then, let's see, June I have coming up a clinic. I'll be a clinician on the faculty for the Furman University Jazz Camp in Greenville, South Carolina. That's the third week of June. And then I go back to Arkansas. So I'm adjunct faculty for the Jazz Master's degree program at the University of Arkansas at Monticello. So I'll be down there. Hopefully get some good students this year. Last year I didn't have any. The year before I had two very good students. But yeah, I'm honored to be part of that faculty. Really good faculty. 1-year master's degree program that I never heard of. They're aiming it at educators. So you basically, you go down there for 2 weeks in the summer, you do some online classes through the year. The next summer you go back for your 2 weeks, you get your degree. So wow. It's a great deal.
You seem pretty balanced too. Like you're doing a lot of education stuff as well as performance. So many performers do one or the other, you know, either I'm teaching, or I've got a gig here, I got a gig here. But you seem to have a real good balance there, man.
Well, I'm trying to work on it. I mean, the education thing just kind of happened for me. People asked me if I'd be interested, and I'm like, I am interested. And I'm the kind of person, whatever I'm doing, I want to do a good job. So, you know, like matter of fact, right before we got on the line here, I was working on the presentation for Arkansas. I've made up some exercises and things that I, you know, so that's when you asked me about a website, that's one of the things in the works is I think that hopefully coming sometime soon, I think once I move, I'm going to have more time. Here it seems like, you know, well, you're retired, why you don't have time, but I watch my, two of my grandkids. I have, six with two more on the way.
Wow.
And they're kind of spread all out, but two of them are here in Columbia, and I've been watching them for quite a while. So shout out to Elman Blythe. But once I move, I won't be watching them every other week. So I think that'll get, you know, I'd like to divert some more energy to, you know, again, like I said in the beginning, trying to improve myself as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I was so blessed that I had a job playing with arguably, you know, at least one of the best bands in the world for 25 years or 24 years. And, you know, it gave me a comfort place. You know, I didn't really feel the need to, be trying to, you know, get out of my comfort zone. And now, like, you know, I, like I said, I have these different opportunities and I want to explore different styles of music and, you know, figure it out and just, you know, be, you know, I feel like I do a good job, but, you know, I always feel like I could be better.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes you great, you know. Yeah. Never satisfied. Well, Tim, thank you. Thank you for your gift, and thank you for being on our show today, and good fortune, and stay in touch. Okay, man?
Thank you. It was my honor.
It's fun. Up next, we're going to stay in Columbia here on the Music of America podcast. Join us tomorrow. We're going to meet Colton Beasley.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.